Hallelujah. Okay, thank you, Lord. So you can be seated. At last. Okay. Okay, you know what? I just didn't know what the Lord wanted this morning, and he said, just go up there and wing it, and I'll take over. And he did. He did. The best way to wing it. His are always the best. But, you know, and I thought, okay, now, you know, I've been asking other people to do the tithes and offerings, and I haven't done them for about a month or 6 weeks or something. And I thought, I didn't even prepare for that either. But all of a sudden, I put these papers up here because some of them are words of prophecy that were given to our church. And it says, do not, and this one, and I'm going to read it. For the tithes and offerings, so you can get those ready. Do not be afraid, says the Lord, of what the world cries out for. You keep your eyes on me. There is no recession in heaven. My word has not changed, and my arm is not shortened, that it cannot and will not supply. And I have to laugh because this person was a missionary who gave us this. And that was the one scripture that God had given me. He said, is my arm, we were down at the airport and across from the airport in this little old truck stop. And it was about, I bet five of those could fit in here. Maybe that's too many. Do you think? I don't know. Four? Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, but what I'm talking about, to jump from that to that, but I kept saying your arm is not, it says in the Bible, your arm is not waxed short, that you cannot supply a different building for us. We didn't own it. We rented it. So we jumped, jumped. What was I going to say about that? Oh, and he also said, will you sit ye here till you die? I kept getting that. Sit ye here till you die. And that, I don't know why he said that, but he said it. And I knew it was time to move, but I waited for like 3 or 4 months before you made a step. Okay, but this is what the Lord also said. My arm is not shortened that it cannot and will not supply. And he has supplied because this building's paid for. And we bought it in 2006 with 35 people. I continue to look to and fro throughout this whole world to those to show myself strong to them. To move, he looks to and fro throughout the whole world so he can show himself strong to people. To move in their lives in great and unpredictable ways. But I am searching and I am looking back and forth. And you qualify. That's right. And you've chosen to stand your ground, to take me at the word and my spirit. And therefore, good things and favor and financial surplus and abundance shall overtake you. And as others dry up and shrivel up by the vine, because of a lack of nourishment and intimacy with me, you dry up in the vine. If you take any kind of a vine or those bushes or the tree, or if it never gets water, it dries up. And he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. We dry up and fall off if we don't have intimacy with him. But it says, so you will grow and flourish and blossom like never before. And in seasons of famine, spiritually speaking, all around you, it shall not be so for you. And for my angels are at work, and they are surrounding you and moving forward in assignment to create for you stadiums of favor. Amen. And that happened. So, the ushers, you want to give out the envelopes? So, stadiums of favor did come. Miracles came. Well, we didn't pay the church off till 2017, but it just took us it took 12 years. Yeah. For a small congregation, and it was, it's a miracle. Miracle, that's all I can say, it's a miracle. Hallelujah. Okay, our, those two chicks over there. No, right there, they're laying. No, they're laying right there. Now, this is something I want to tell you. We always give to the church. Always. We tithe to the church. We give to the church. Every I never lose an opportunity to give into the offering.
That's right.
So you want to put that up there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, so this is an offering of thanks. God, I can't thank him enough. As we receive today's offering, we are thanking the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interests and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas to make money, wise investments, divine favor. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our financial needs, that we have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen and hallelujah. Okay, now I'm just going to say something to you. Last year with COVID, I'm not saying, oh, wow, we need it. You know what? We took in more money than we ever have. That's God. But you know what? March of 2020, and I was just talking to Jesse this morning, or even in February, I said, what? What's going on? You know, okay, so I was alive during World War II. And I remember some of it. And I can remember how we fought and did things and sacrificed. And you didn't have enough sugar. Or you didn't have, you know, to cook and bake and all that stuff. And, yeah, but people sacrificed. And the communism tried to take us over. And it's still trying. And I know that the gates of hell, because the church is still here, it will not. It's looking worse and worse and worse. But you know what? How about the Israelites? The Israelites, when they went into Egypt, they were in the land of Goshen, and all it was darkness in the part of Egypt. Egypt is a symbol of the world system. God is taking care of those who give their life to him. I'm not taking just a little bit. Well, I'm going to keep one foot in the world. One foot out of the... No. We've not done that. And I want to tell you something. You got to trust in the Lord. This is Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to what you're hearing, seeing, or on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. God, you're my provider. You're my healer. You're my everything. And he is. And I mean that with all my heart and soul. I mean, for 40 years, nobody told me how to receive Jesus. We went to church, good churchgoers, but nobody told us we had to receive Jesus. And you know what? Once a dead man, I was tired of that other stuff. I knew there was more. Went, woohoo! When somebody went, I went gung ho. And haven't stopped, and that was more than 40 years ago. Yeah, I'm going to be 82 pretty soon. Father, God is good to you. But give him your whole self. Give him your whole life. It can't turn out but nothing but fun. You know why? Well, that's what I was going to say before. The kingdom of God. You know what it is consists of? Righteousness. Peace. And I'm talking about the peace of God. And joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, It's joy. He's joy. Oh, I do it. Every once in a while I get that way. Well, I don't have nothing to be. Yeah, you do. Think of all the good. You know what? We're still here in the United States. They would have taken over other countries by now. They're not going to. Something's going to turn. Our God's not done because a revival is coming. And we're, God's counting on all of us. You can't count on pastors to do it. Everybody's going to do it. Lay hands on the sick. Raise the dead. Oh, my God, it's going to be exciting. But you got to get ready. Oh, get ready. And you have more fun. Amen. Okay, let's receive it. So say this, my God supplies all of my needs.
Supplies all my needs.
According to his riches and glory.
According to his riches and glory.
By Christ Jesus.
By Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, you can be seated. At last, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God. Okay. So, that little kitty stole that much time. Hallelujah. Okay, so I had pulled out the gold brick prophecy that we had gotten in 1997. And I know we're it's already 11:15, but you do what God wants, and we'll just. Okay, so I actually am good. I wasn't sure, but I'm going to read it. So this was in 1997. There was a prayer meeting like all night, and then in the morning, someone got a word from the Lord. It's kind of long. There were two of them. This one was real short. This one said, each person is as a brick in this church. Each person is as a brick being placed in the foundation of a wall. Some of clay, some of pure gold. The master is cleaning each brick, placing them in each foundation. Each brick is connected with a mortar, and this mortar is love, which is expressed in ministry to one another. So I got an extra copy if somebody wants. No, I said I have an extra one if somebody wants to read it. Okay. Throughout the years, there have been ministries building foundations using any brick available. Many of the bricks used were of soft limestone. It means immature, lukewarm, who resembled bricks on the outside but lacked the elements within to make them strong in faith and in the Word. It's so important to get in the Word. The Lord is building a living Word with bricks that are strong. Don't be discouraged by those who come to you with various problems. I know the materials I am sending you, says the Lord. I know that though these bricks may be unfinished and soft, when they arrive, they will not remain that way. I was kind of unfinished and soft myself. So, you grew. We grew up together, a lot of us. They have the substance and the elements within them, though, inside you, to be solid bricks in the foundation which I am building. See, you got the stuff inside you. Living Word is to be a solid fortress, which will be able to weather the storms which are now forming on the horizon. When these storms strike the land, many ministries will crumble and not provide hope and protection because the bricks they used were not all of solid material. Though they may have a few solid bricks, they are solid bricks among soft and crumbling ones. Though the solid bricks may remain, the larger wall will not remain as the soft ones break out from around the solid bricks. Soft bricks break out. I've had a lot of people come and go. But I am building a living word with all solid bricks, that when the storm strikes, not one will crumble. Amen. You can build hurriedly with whatever materials are available, but you will end up with a weak foundation wall. Right. It takes time to cure a brick in the fire of the word. Yes. Many come to you who are troubled. Do not take the burden upon yourself to make them right. That is my job. I am the master mason. I know what elements are necessary for the finished brick to be strong. The problems they face will become like rebar that reinforces cement when they are set free by the anointing of the word they are under. They will come out with a testimony or experience which with the word cannot be shaken. It is only up to you to keep the fire up on the furnace. That was addressed to me, that part. The hotter you make it, the more dross will burn off. When the process is complete, then and only then will you have a brick with which to be worthy of placing in this foundation. I am even using the evil words spoken against you in this church, and there were a lot at first, to further separate out the elements I need. Those that come and remain in the fire are the few which I have chosen. Other ministries have full seats, but when true storms come, there will be very few left. Well, we had a storm. You will keep those that I choose, for they will not be shaken. They have substance in their heart that will weather well. And there are some people here that have been with us from the beginning. Remember, but God's bringing in different ones, too, that are strong. Remember how I separated the army of Israel from thousands down to a few hundred. Yeah, this is in Judges 6 and 7. We looked it up before church. First, they were separated out by those who had fear in their hearts, and then they were separated by those who were really thirsty for the Lord. So it is with this ministry. The manifestations will separate out those who are fearful and want to hold on to their traditions. Tongues. Healing. Falling over. I'm not pushing people over. I don't do nothing. That's the power of God. That is the power of God. Okay. Finally, I separate out those who may not be fearful of these things, but who are not really thirsty for the things of God, who are not willing to get wet to move on in my purpose. I did more with those few hundred than I could have ever done with the thousands, most of which did not have hearts that were mine. That's where it lies. Okay, well, this is one of the reasons I choose to manifest my spirit in these last days in ways which seem foolish to the carnal mind. It served to separate the carnal from the spiritual. There is a battle to be fought, a victory to be had, but I will not share my glory with anyone, says the Lord. I choose to do that which looks foolish and impossible to show my glory. You do not want numbers for the sake of numbers. And she's always kept it that way. I'm like, sometimes they get real discouraged and say, God, I've been at this for 28 years worth. You know what I mean? But that's all right. They're strong people. You do not want numbers for the sake of numbers. You can do far more with 12 hearts absolutely devoted to my heart and purpose than with 12,000 who care little for what I want to do. Even if you had a few good men among the 12,000, they would be weighted down by the others. They would have to carry their dead weight into battle and would have limited effectiveness. The other ministries, which are satisfied to fill seats, will be mired down when the battle becomes more fierce. As for finances, see, he said this way back. Resources to accomplish what I would have you to do, continue to function in my principles of sowing, and I will take care of every need that arises. And that we did. We sowed to other missionaries, to ministries, to people to evangelists, to all over the place. We never were, or if we had a speaker, we would treat them like kings. Never, ever did we, if we took offerings, we never took it out for their hotel. We never took it out for their food. And then we would add to what the people gave, because that's what Buddy Harrison told me to do. I was taught that by Buddy Harrison, who is now in heaven. And see, so do not pray. But see, now in the last days, I believe that numbers will come in the revival. I do. Do not pray for numbers to come. Pray for the bricks I have prepared you to have. Trust that I know what and how to build what I am building at Living Word. Okay, so then we were given another prophecy, and I don't have it, but it was about that we were like Gideon's army. And this morning before prayer, we were singing 300 men. That's a cool song. But anyway, okay, so he Gideon went. I should go look in Judges so I do it right. Oh, yeah, you can dip when I get there. Oh, no. Maybe we should take a vote on that one, huh? Okay. So Gideon was chosen, and Gideon felt like this, kind of like I do sometimes. But he was to defeat the enemy, Midian. Okay. The Lord said, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel boast about themselves against me, saying, my own hand has delivered me. God wants the glory. He wants the glory for all of it. So now proclaim in the ears of the men, saying, whoever is full of fear, I'll tell you what. You know what? I brought out this book, Fearless. Do we have some? This is a good, it's a devotional, and it's written by Joel Siegel. And I tell you what, well, we were made signs when that COVID thing came out last year, and we said faith and not fear. You got to operate in faith. You got to look at God and not fear. They're still trying to pull us full of fear. All right? No, that is a demonic spirit, because in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God did not give you. He's talking to the people, to his Christians. He did not give you a spirit of fear. He called it a demon spirit. But he gave you the spirit of power, his power, and of love. That's agape love, and a sound mind. A sound, disciplined mind. So whoever is fearful and trembling, let him get back out of this army and depart from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 men returned, but 10,000 remained. Guess what the Lord said, though? And the Lord said to Gideon, the men are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I'll test them there. And he says, he of whom I say to you, this man shall go with you. And he of whom I say to you, this man shall not go, he will not go with you. So he brought the man to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps up the water with his tongue. You could show what it meant. Wait, everyone who laps up the water with his tongue as a dog laps. Yeah, okay, so they were way down. See, they were not on the alert to watch the enemy. Okay, you shall set by himself, but everyone who bows down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, okay, now do it the right way, putting their hand to their mouth. No, they were down on their knees. No, they were down on their knees, but they went like this. No, okay, do it. The ones who lapped with their, okay, they were on their, no, they were actually on their knees, but they were, their heads were up like this.
They're standing up with their Bible in their hand. In other words, they're sword, and they're looking around with the army coming. If you had an army coming,
well, that's not
right
the,
now,
that part.
Okay. Would you be sleeping?
No. Okay, but let me read on. Okay.
We've got to be ready for the devil out here. 365 days mm-hmm. a year, 52 weeks a year, 24 hours a day, 60 minutes. He is the God of this world. 7 Corinthians 4:4, and he's destroying people right and left. Hosea 4:6 says, my children are destroyed from lack of knowledge because you rejected knowledge. I forgive you as priest and forget your children.
Yeah, it actually says that in Hosea 4:6. Okay, we'll get back to Gideon now, okay? That's okay, but that was good, Ken.
Amen.
Yeah, so.
Too many Christians, too many Marcus,
that's right.
Not enough marriage. Luke 10.
Yeah. Okay, so 7,000 more men were kicked out of the army.
Yep.
There were 32,000, that left 300 left.
Yeah.
And how many men? Now, that's one thing. I don't know how many they were going against. You know what the Lord told me this morning on the way to church, and I had to study this out as much as I should have. But 300 men defeated them. And the Lord told them how to do it. You know, he divided them in three companies, and he put into their hands trumpets and empty pitchers with torches. And he said, look at me. When I come to the edge of their camp, blow the trumpet, and I and all who are with me, when you blow the trumpet also, and shout for the Lord and for the Gideon. And for Gideon. Shout for
shout,
the Lord.
Shout,
Lord, go ahead.
Shout.
So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts at the beginning of the middle watch when the guards had changed, and they blew the trumpet and they smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and shattered them, holding the torches in their left hands. See, then there were lights all over the place. And every man stood in his place. And you know what? They got scared because they thought it was big army all surrounding him. And it was 300 people. And I think they actually said they had more men. Either 20,000, 40, I'm not sure. I need to get past that. All I can say is that we were prophesied that we were Gideon's army. And, okay, but the whole thing is the Word of God. The Word of God has prominence in here. And we have to actually, it's called Living Word, because we have to live the Word. And I got famous for right off the beginning saying when the rubber meets the road. What I meant by that, when situations happen, you don't act like you always acted when you were in the world. You read the Word and you apply the Word to the situation. It could be with finances. It can be with healing. It can be with, yes, your children. With every arena of your life, the Word tells you how to. And then in James, it says, be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. Because if you're a hearer and you never do the Word, nothing ever happens. And you have to believe the Word of God above your circumstances, above your senses, what you see, what you hear, what you feel. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, I walk by faith and not by sight. You have to. Okay, now this words are extremely important, the words that you say. I have this too, and if everybody wants a copy, this came from Eagle Mountain Church, and it's words defined, but words are God's method of operation, and we had this actually on Wednesday night, that they are this method of operation by which he accomplishes his will, his purpose, and his desire. Words, the words you say set spiritual laws in motion. Okay. So you can always talk about how bad things are, what your symptoms are. You talk negative, 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 and it gets inside of you. And you know what? It begins to happen because you prophesy it out here. Hey, I still got to correct myself all the time on this. I do. You do. That's why I know it. I do too. You have to correct yourself. You have to tell, oh my gosh, you know. Okay, so they'll set law, your words will set into motion the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the law of sin and death. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, and see, okay. Okay, I set before you, God said this, I set before you life, and I set before you death. I set before you blessing, and I set before you cursing. Therefore, when the rubber meets the road, choose life. And it's not easy to do, but you overcome that opposition that tries to, okay, here's an example. You hear a bad report. Like his mom called me. This is my grandson. But his mom called, and it went his little brother. And he was real little when his little brother was born. But his heart was turned backwards. And they didn't know it at first. And then all of a sudden, he died. They inserted a tube right there, and they brought him back to life. But his mother called and said, Mom, he died, Matthew died. And you know what? Okay, what are you going to do? You go, instead of go, you know what? And it wasn't easy. But him and I start saying the word, and we start saying, thank you, God, and we start dancing. Didn't feel like it. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. You know what? Pretty soon, she called back, but it was maybe a full 10 minutes, and she said, he's alive. And that kid is, you know, and he was in the NICU, and he had heart surgery when he was 5 days old. And, I mean, his heart was sitting, and then for 2 or 3 days, they actually had his heart opened up. I went in there, and I went, and I was a nurse, so anyway. He is absolutely gets a checkup every for his heart, and he's like normal. The doctor that knew how to do that surgery lived in Omaha. That doctor lived in Omaha. And he's like taught doctors all over the world at that time. What year was that? What year was he born? He was the number one for cardiac surgery. Yeah. When he traveled doing that, you know, because that does occur once in a while. Okay, but what I'm telling you, it isn't fun to do that. I mean, you don't feel like it. Somebody tells you have cancer, you know. They took a biopsy and it was cancer. You know, what are you going to do? Panic? Get full of fear? Or are you going to apply the word? See, but you've got to know the word of God in order to get this. You know, it's just important. Bless the Lord that right off the bat when I got born again, I got into teaching that taught that. And it's the best. I mean, the word is God. See, words are the most important thing in the universe. If God, it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the dark waters. But what was the Spirit of God waiting for? It was waiting for the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. And then it says in Proverbs, that it's Proverbs 8. It talks about how God the Father told him, do this and do that and separate the waters and do this and do that. That was Jesus. You know, that's in the Old Testament. But you can tell that's what he did. The Word. And then the Word came and was made flesh. And I'll tell you what. He came to redeem us. He came to redeem us. But he came, and the sickness is a hugie.
Yes,
no, I get symptoms too. But you know what? Whereas it might stand, Ken and I got COVID last year. We never went to the doctor or nothing. It was around this time, I remember. But you know what? We got strong immune systems. No vax. Okay. But the word of God can change your life. Now, go to Joshua 1:8. You can put it up there. And I won't keep it too long. Joshua, Judges. It's right before Judges. Joshua 1:8. And I'll do it out of the Amplified. It's not much different than King James. This book, now it says this book of the law, but really what this can be used in our time. And in the New Testament, this book of the Word of God.
Yes.
It shall not depart out of your mouth. This itself is the Word of God. God gave us instructions. If you really love me, you'll obey my commands. This is one of the commands. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You think, wow, gosh, you're going to be in the Word all day and all night, all day and all night. What am I ever going to do? I mean, you know, I mean, people think that way. Am I ever? No. You know what? I used to teach school too, and I would teach algebra. And while they were trying to figure out their algebra problem, I would think of the scriptures that I do. And I'm not trying, but I was trying. Or I'd go to the restroom, you know, and I'd start praising God in there. Just even if it was a few minutes, you know what? But it's just kind of like he's there all the time. That's how you meditate day and night. It's just you love him so much that he's with you. And he's there. And you just say, thank you. Thank you, God. I am so grateful that I live in the United States. I'm not kidding you. And I always was grateful. And whereas other people wouldn't even pay any attention to that. I don't know what it was, but I knew that we had much more than any other country, and especially God. And that we need to keep. And that's what they're trying to destroy, is to get rid of God. It says, but you shall meditate on that word of God day and night. Why? So you can observe and you can do. Say do. I can do according to all that's written in it. For then you shall, then you're going to make your way prosperous. And then you shall deal wisely and have good success. See, maybe you need to get rid of something in your life that's causing you to be sick or causing, opening the door to the devil. And that's true. You know what? Take the word of God. Call things that be not as though they were. You start taking the word of God and say, I can overcome this. I will overcome this. I have the power of God in me, and I will overcome. I have the power of God. You can say it 1,000 times a day. And you know what? It's going to start to work. Cause on Wednesday night. Now we talked about seed. Your word is a seed. And it's the DNA. When you speak the word of God, it's God's DNA. What? Everything. Everything out there started with a seed. God created like the tree first. And the seed was in the tree itself. This is all come, you know, it comes together. You can get the CD of it, but it was interesting. In fact, I even got the notes for that. I brought them along. But seed time and harvest. We're going to go into this a little bit. I just didn't know what God wanted, so. See, I don't want to get my own thing. I want his thing. But God's laws, he has the law of Genesis. And let's go to put Genesis 8, 21 and 22. And I can tell you what, this does away with global warming.
Yeah, amen.
This does away with global warming. Genesis 1, 20, Genesis 8. Yeah. Okay, we'll do it out of the Amplified. When the Lord, do I have it right? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. When the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, a scent of satisfaction in his heart, the Lord said to him, okay, this was when Noah's Ark landed, and they came out of Noah's Ark. He said, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the imagination, the strong desire of man's heart is evil and wicked from his youth. Neither will I ever again smite and destroy every living thing as I have done. Yes, things have happened now. Floods came, but not the whole earth at once. He'll never do that again. And I can tell you, the rainbow symbol, that is a covenant of God. Covenant that we have with God. And how dare LGBT, whatever it is, take that symbol and use it. They took it. That is an abomination. It was lit up on the White House. Ooh. Okay. Now, here it is, though, the law of Genesis. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Summer and winter ain't gonna cease. So it refutes global warming. It's going to be. It's, you know, there's not, that's a trap to take us over. The new world order. You know what? There's a new reset, though, in the spirit realm. I can tell you, because things are getting reset from God, too. Because revival is coming. And people's understanding of the whole word of people's understanding of the whole word of God is being, it's coming, revelation knowledge coming fast and furious. It is. And you understand, okay, this happened to, you know, this something happened to you and the rubber met the road. So what are you going to do? Are you going to bawl and squall and say, this is impossible. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What am I going to do? I mean, I used to do it, too. No, you say, God, God, I know I can find scripture that covers this situation. And you start trusting in him with all your heart. And same thing with your bank accounts. You got to speak to those things. You speak to that stuff. You speak to your body. I spoke to my body every single day up until I had the surgery. All night long it was on the computer. And then I spoke to it and spoke to it and spoke to it and spoke to it. Because I wasn't about to be destroyed by cancer or chemo or all that stuff. You have to fight the good fight of faith with the word of God. See, even evil seeds are in your words. You're going to talk about something that's constantly, you know, coming against you. Okay, or like we're talking about the seed of strife is in strife itself. The seed of criticism and is a criticism itself. The seed of fear is in, you talk about fear, fear comes on the scene. It's a principle. It really is. It's a law in the spirit realm. So words are seeds, and it's extremely important what you say when you're in circumstances. See, and he told us to meditate on it day and night. So what we need to do to change our life in an area of healing or finances or depression or whatever it is to discipline ourselves to say what God says. But how are you going to know what God says without getting into the Word? And see, you may even feel like it's a lie at the time. Yeah, but I've got these symptoms. Yeah, but the doctor's report said this. But whose report will you believe? This is the Word of God, and it says heaven and earth will pass away. But the Word of God will not pass away. Now, honest to God, I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't try it. It worked. And it's still working. That's why it's vital to confess some good word every day. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed going in, blessed going out. Everything, I go to Walmart, I go to the grocery store, it's blessed. I'm blessed. And you know what? It happens. You want to bring blessing to people. I'm the lender and not the borrower. Sure enough, it came to pass. Instead of the other way around. See, maybe there's facts in your life that don't line up with the Word of God. Sickness, disease, lack, fear, divorce, hurt, stuff. Yeah, that whole thing's going to go now. And you told us your whole life story, and that was of God that day. And now God wants to heal the heart. And you are useful. So, you know, in the kingdom of God, and it's never too late. Never. But see, there's scriptures to cover all of this stuff. God said, let God be true and every man a liar. It says that in Romans. And I was like, what does that mean? And okay, so one of my sons was goofing up. You know, we have four kids and two sons, two daughters, but one of my sons was kind of goofing up, not Mark. Mark was it. That was my son, our son up there. But, and you know, I started one day, I spent the whole day praying in the Spirit and commanding demonic spirits to get away from him. He was running around with Christian kids, though, who were doing things that were not right. Christian kids, whose dad was a pastor. You can't always trust that. And we were at a prayer meeting, and I said, what is that scripture? Would God be true and every man a liar? And I thought, you know what it is? He was doing that stuff, but I had to start speaking the Word. And I said, you demonic spirits, you get away from him in the name of Jesus. And I said it all day long. I laid on my face, prayed. He was working at Hormel's and my kids were in school. And you know what? All of a sudden, I didn't actually see a vision, but it was like I saw, they were going, stop it, stop it. You stop saying that. You get away from him. He belongs to God. And I put the blood of Jesus around. And it works. It works. It works. So let God's word be true. God's word is forever established in heaven. And it says heaven and earth. And that's why I keep quoting that. Heaven and earth will pass away. But the word of God cannot pass away. The Word of God is Jesus. You burn up all the Bibles, it still can't pass away. Every word, he never said any other words but what is written in here. Did you know that? See, whether you believe God's Word or not, you need to be obedient, though, to the Word of God if you want to live a good life. Because what the Word of God says about you will not happen just because it's in the Bible. Mm-mm. It happens only when you get into agreement with what God said about you. Not what others say. Not what's happening around you. See, God seeds according to his word, and God's word is truth. He said, I am the way, I am the life, and I am the truth. So let God be true and every man a liar. Do you understand what that scripture's saying now? There's more truth in God's word than what you're seeing, feeling, hearing. And it can be turned around by speaking the word of God. Are you lying when you say you're healed when you still have symptoms? No, because you're speaking eternal truth. But you don't say, I'm not healed. Okay, what, you know, and I don't have time to go through this whole thing here, but okay. You're calling in the word of God over the circumstances, and pretty soon those circumstances begin to change. They will dissolve. How do I know? I tried it, and it works. I tried the word. I don't like to preach something that I haven't experienced, but it works. But you gotta do something. You can't just sit there and waddle in misery, or just keep doing. If you're doing, this is really stupid. Somebody said this once, well, that's really stupid. You know what? They said, well, you know, I'm doing the same thing I always did, but nothing's happening. Change something. Change then. Change. See, Jesus defeated Satan with the word. He said, when Satan tempted him, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Pretty soon Satan ran. That's in Luke 4. I could read it to you. It's in there. He was trying to give us an example. That's the same way we do. Yeah. It is written. God didn't give me a spirit of fear. Am I making sense to anybody? And you know, well, they'll make fun. Oh, they're one of those blab it, grab it, call it, you know. Okay. So I've had a lot of dogs. I've had cats. We've had cats, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, but you know, if the dog's outside and, you know, you see there's a storm coming or you want to feed the dog and you don't see the dog in sight. And so, you know, your neighbor says, well, what are you doing? What are you looking for? You say, well, I'm looking for my dog. And he says, well, why don't you call the dog? And he says, well, no, I can't see the dog, so I'd be lying if I called it. See, you're some people say to us, well, you're lying when you have the symptoms of this, but you're calling what that word says, that you're healed. Do you see what I'm talking about? But you still would call your dog. And when you call him, he'll come. You called the word of God because it is a seed. It's a DNA of God. Words are seeds. Your descendants are seeds. Apples have seeds. Make thousands and millions of apple trees. You know, we have that corn. Cob is not a cobs or what all. What? Ear of corn. Thank you. Duh, such a simple thing, but I couldn't think of it. Okay, an ear of corn. It's a farmer back there. So he gave me this ear of corn a long time ago. One seed made that ear of corn, and I tried to count them. I don't know if I was accurate, but there were like 450, 500 seeds on it. And each one of those are going to make another 450. So it's a principle of seed time and harvest, but it works with our words and what we say. When we say the word, the most powerful thing in the world. And you can overcome things, alcoholism, smoking, pornography. You know, God will help you. And you have to take, and not only that, the Bible says that he gave us authority. Before he ascended up into heaven, he says, behold, I have all authority on heaven and earth, but I give it to you. He didn't quite say it that way, but he says, you go. First thing he said was cast out demons. The second thing he said, speak with new tongues. The third thing he said was, if you drink any deadly poison, it will not harm you. You could use that if you go out to eat after church. Or like he said, if you have a snake, if a snake bites you, it won't hurt you. But you know what? I use that for like mosquitoes to cause disease, COVID, you name it. And the last thing he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is this word, it's a Bible principle, and it's a spiritual law. Spiritual laws are way above natural laws. They're way above them. Because he's the one who created everything in the first place. You know, Jesus defeated the devil. He shook Satan's kingdom. And you don't have to put up with that kingdom anymore. You know. Okay, so I'm going to stop. That's what God gave me. Why did I even bring this here? You know, see, I've had people say stuff. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, let me read this, just this little part. Okay, Smith Wigglesworth was a great man of God, and he actually raised over 20 people from the dead. He's up in heaven now. This was a long time ago. Okay, all right. Smith Wigglesworth was another great man of God who understood his place of dominion and authority. One night, as Reverend Wigglesworth was sleeping, he awoke sensing an evil presence. When he opened his eyes, there was Satan himself sitting on his bed in physically manifested form. Instead of cowering in fear, Brother Wigglesworth simply said, "Oh, it's just you." And he rolled over and went back to sleep. He gave him no fear. Lester Sumrall, a protege of Wigglesworth, was in a foreign country, sleeping in a hotel, when the devil manifested in a spectacular way. His bed began shaking, bouncing all the way across the floor. Sumrall sharply rebuked the enemy and commanded him to stop. Instantly, the shaking ceased. There's a little part out of here. Then he opened the door and he said, "You get out of here, Satan, in the name of Jesus." He came back and he went, "My bed's all the way across." He said, he opened the door back up. He said, "Get back in here and you put it back in place." And he did. He had to obey. He had to obey. When he looked at the bed on the other side, he had a brilliant thought. Why should he have to put it back? With full revelation of his dominion and authority, he shouted, "Put it back, devil." The bed seemingly all by itself slid back into place. Brother Sumrall then got in and peacefully fell off to sleep. Instead of fearing him, he fears us. Instead of running from him, he'll run for us. But see, then it gives James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he has to flee. One more little thing. I promise that this is it. You know what? Would you show her 300 Ben, that song, and then we'll sing it at the end. But okay, so Ken and I were in prison ministry when we first got born again for 7 years, and that was 1980. Okay, for 7 years we were in prison ministry in Omaha. We would always go to this lady's house and pray. before we went in. And that one time I was like, wah. I was a baby Christian. And I was like, ugh, you know, feeling bad. And I didn't tell anybody, though, but I was concerned about our finances.
Right.
Okay, so this one guy picked it up. He picked it up in the spirit. He was ordained. And he picked it up and he came over to me and he said, Jackie, I have a word for you. And I thought, oh, I got a word for me. Ooh, God's going to tell me a word. And he said, the Lord told me to tell you, you're submitting to the devil and resisting God. And, you know, I could have gotten real offended, but I didn't. I went, oh, sure, because I'm going, oh, I'm $10, what am I going to do? You know what? And I thought, yeah, I was not trusting God. And just like that, I got it. And you know what? It's just like sometimes when we do that, the opposite of what the word says, but if you never get in it, you don't know what's in that word. Can you imagine? He said, I can imagine the devil standing here, and I'm going, I submit to you. When I thought about that, it made me like I felt like going, throwing up. And you know what? I've never forgotten that. I will not submit to that sucker. No, you tell him off. You take your authority. Jesus said to the disciples, and we're part of the disciplined followers of God, behold, I give you power and authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the ability of the enemy, which is Zippo, because he defeated him. Amen. Okay, so go ahead and play 300 men, and you're dismissed. Oh, remember cupcakes after 300 men.
We'll pray over it, too.
Cupcakes, coffee, whatever.